So what I was looking at was that, one of my first times facilitating, I did the course as a college course. And so one of the things I came up with was, well, there's extra credit in the course. In other words, yeah, he says, okay, our buddy Jesus says that the aim of the course is peace and accepting the atonement for ourselves. Everybody with me on that? That's pretty clearly what he says is the goal of the course, right?
Well, I've heard many goals. That sounds like one of them.
Oh, what else have you heard then?
Well, I don't have a memory. I just know I've heard many goals.
Ah, okay, well, that's what I'm saying is that, oh, there we go. Now I got everybody. Is that he says the goal of the course is peace. And our job is to accept the atonement for ourselves. Okay? So that's kind of what I look at as kind of a solid, but extra credit is you can start looking at the meaning of love. Okay? Which is what I thought we could look at tonight. Because it's in there. A lot of discussion about the meaning of love is in there. So I thought, well, let's take a look at that.
So we're not going to do tolerance, we're going to do the meaning of love.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
okay.
then we can let, because, one thing is that Andrews likes to go and do one paragraph and go into depth in that one paragraph. And that's kind of not my style, and, I'm not as good at that. So I
Okay.
like this format. I like what I did is I went through the whole text, searching for anything to do with the meaning of love, and pulled that all together for us and highlighted in purple, so we can kind of see in the paragraph that we're reading, where does it reference the meaning of love, and what does that mean? What is the meaning of love? Because, even though it says, as we're going to read in this first one, that the course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught, there's 33 references to the meaning of love that I found. Okay. So how does that sound? Does it sound like fun? I think so.
I like that.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna turn on my air conditioner in my room, but someone can get started and let's see. On my screen, so there's six of us, correct? I got everybody now. So, Luann, can you start us with the introduction?
Sure. Let me know if you can hear me, because sometimes people can't. This is the meaning of love. This is a course of miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. I'm so glad it said that because my experience of love doesn't have words. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is our natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite.
And so I'll just take the next, this one's kind of out of sequence in terms of the order of these phrases, but I'll take the next one because the very next thing that I want to share is it says, the holy instant and special relationship. The holy instant is the Holy Spirit's most useful learning device for teaching you love's meaning. So he's kind of hinting around that, well, yeah, it might be extra credit, but you can, I mean, what does it say? It says to me, you can learn love's meaning.
You may say that, but for me, I can only feel love.
Through the holy instant. So yeah, when you're in the holy instant, what have you got? Right, Luann? You thought no time, no place, no body. That's the holy instant. So that's what he's saying here, is where you can learn about love's meaning. But you're not going to be doing it with your brain, so you're right. How can you put it into words? You're not working with the brain when you're in the holy instant. So that's what I get out of this. And Micheline has a question or a comment.
Oh, I just want to add to that that for me it's the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So well, it doesn't have anything to do with our mind, but it does have emotion, but it's the experience of the holy instant.
So exactly. So a quote from the Course is, a universal theology is not possible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary.
Right.
So you're right on track according to what the Course says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we have it.
I kind of think that's what Ross and I were both saying, is that for me, experience means I'm feeling it. Doesn't mean I'm understanding it. Doesn't mean I have thoughts necessarily. I have thoughts later, but I don't have thoughts while I'm experiencing it.
Not without a brain, right? Well, you can have thoughts, the thoughts of God without a brain. But without a brain, you have no thoughts of differences, of specialness, of separateness, of all the things we associate with the world. That's, you know, our senses and our brain are what develop those differences. Without that, there's only love. That's right.
I'm not exactly sure that how that related to what Micheline and I were saying, but okay. Can you say it a different way?
What you said was that, Kenny, help! I have to talk demons. Okay, so what you said was the only way you can experience love is through an experience. Is that right?
The only way I can really have a sense of love is by having the only way I know love is when I'm having experience or a sense of it.
So what do you have that experience with?
Well, it's
not your body, right?
Not my body, that's for sure.
Right.
It's myself opening up to the love that's there. And the love is in my body. It's going through my body. As my experience is that love was everywhere. But
so it's spirit or mind?
That's
mind, the big M, mind, not the brain?
Well, I don't think it's either of those. I think it's what God is. And you can experience God. You can sense God with feelings. That's what my idea of experiencing is.
I heard you say God is, right?
As far as I'm concerned, that's what God is. It's the one thing you can't define. It's the one thing that I need the Holy Spirit to help me do all the time, or even an instant. For me, what the book is saying is get rid of all the things that are keeping you from feeling that all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, so you're right. We're saying the same things.
That's my thought.
Not in the same words, but those words are symbols twice removed from reality. So we're bound to have different interpretations of what the words mean.
I have to tell you the last sentence of the paragraph I read, number 8. The opposite love is fear. But let me tell you what my experience lately has been. Andrew sent me to chapter 3, and it's about guilt. And what I realized today when I was studying it is that if I feel anything that's fearful, it's coming from a basis of guilt, because I'm fearful of having guilt. And if I'm feeling guilty, then I'm fearful. And that's the one thing that'll keep me from knowing love and being able to become one with other people. So now I have a little thing I wrote about that, but it's not in front of me. But basically, it's if I feel any degree of fear from, I don't know, it just I go by senses. So any degree of fear that has a sense to it, and almost everything does, then I have to go in and say, think of love instead, even if you don't feel it, just think of it. And what I realize is it's always got a sense of fear with it. So fear is the thing I go to know what I'm feeling guilty about.
Do you know the relationship, and you have it on the tip of your tongue, the relationship between sin, guilt, and fear and time?
Yes, they're all there at the same time.
No, so sin is the past. Guilt is the present. And fear is the future for the ego.
But they're all there at the same time.
Well, that's on a different level.
Well, what's the level?
I'm talking on the ego level. On the ego level, it's sin is the past, guilt is the present, and fear is the future.
Okay.
But and then you can relate that back to the original sin is we separated from God. And we feel guilty about separating God. And so we fear his wrath in the future. So there's sin, guilt, fear.
I have a hard time with the last one because God is all love. I have a hard time believing that God has wrath for us.
Right. I'm talking on the ego level.
Well, I guess on the ego level, if it gets to that point for me, I stop. It doesn't. I just can't. Every time I read that in the book, I have to say that doesn't feel true to me.
What doesn't feel true?
That I fear the wrath of God.
Oh, okay.
So I think I just stop with the past and the present and don't go on to the future when it has anything to do with fearing God.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what else we have in store for us with juicy Lesson 127, and look at the title of it. Who do we have up? Jacqueline, can you start us off with paragraph one? In Lesson 127, there is no love but God's.
There is no love but God's. Perhaps you think that different kinds of love are possible. Perhaps you think there is a kind of love for this, a kind of love for that, a way of loving one, another way of loving still another. Love is one. It has no separate parts and no degrees, no kinds nor levels, no divergencies and no distinctions. It is like itself, unchanged throughout. It never alters with a person or circumstance. It is the heart of God and also of the Son.
So, kind of hinting at the meaning of love to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but kind of is hinting at it. So, even though he says it's beyond what can be taught, that's some interesting learning to me. So, any other thoughts about that little paragraph?
Well, it is telling us what love is not, quite a bit in there.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, the bottom line is the heart of God and also of the Son. So that's the love that Luann is saying that she experienced in that holy instant experience that she had.
But what about paragraph, let's see, what is it? Sentence number five. It is like itself, unchanged throughout. It never alters with the person or circumstances. It is the heart of God and also of His Son.
It still doesn't tell you what it is or how it feels.
It
doesn't tell you how it is or what it feels. It only tells you what it doesn't do.
Yeah.
It's unchanged. It never alters.
Okay. Good point. It is the heart of God and also of His Son.
So those are words. And they don't tell me much of anything.
Okay.
They don't tell me
Fair enough.
How to feel love. They just tell me that when I do, I'm in the heart of God and myself as one with all of you.
It is the heart of God. Micheline's got her hand up.
Micheline, Ross.
Micheline.
It's like Michael.
Ah.
It's okay. It takes time.
Yep. And
I'm so glad you said that, Ross, because I made the same mistake, and I've known her for years.
It's a common thing. I don't know where it is in the book, but one of the things that I use as an affirmation at sometimes is that, and I think it's a lesson, that love created me like itself. So what that's saying is that we are created of love. That's what we are. It's not what we do. It's not what we think. We can experience it because that's what we are. That's my understanding of it. Is that, and I don't know where it is in the book. I can maybe look it up, but it said, love created me like itself. And I think it was a lesson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. And it says, God is love and so are you somewhere.
Right. Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
And it says exactly that. Yeah. Most definitely. All right.
So that's what that's basically what the Course is saying is, eliminate all the ideas of what you are that don't make you, that are not of love.
And it's actually lesson 67.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Did you want to go there, Mike?
I can maybe read just the very first. It's a shorter paragraph. It seems appropriate for the discussion right now. If not, you can let me know. It's lesson 67, love created me like itself. Today's idea is a complete and accurate statement of what you are. This is why you are the light of the world. This is why God appointed you as the world's savior. This is why the Son of God looks to you for his salvation. He is saved by what you are. And then it says, we will make every effort today to reach this truth about you and to realize fully, if only for a moment, that it is the truth. And then it's got other paragraphs for the lesson, but that was the first lesson, the first paragraph.
Sounds good.
I think that sounds right. It goes right along with what we've been saying.
Yeah.
So at the end of paragraph 2, holiness created me holy. Kindness created me kind.
Right.
Helpfulness created me helpful. Perfection created me perfect. If you truly believe those four sentences, we will not have to discuss love.
Sorry, I'm going to...
Are you ruining all our fun?
I was trying to. Yes.
He's sitting on Mars telling you have to be on Venus is what he's doing.
It starts out with knowing who we really are. The rest of this is rhetoric. Trying to find who we really are.
And I think it's hard to do when you use the word who. I think it's much easier to do when you use the word what. Because God isn't a who, as we think of who.
And this was nothing to do with God. Well, holiness created me holy. Kindness created me kind. Helpfulness created me helpful. Perfection created me perfect. It did not say anything about God. It's who you really are. So if you don't believe who you really are, you miss the whole
love, and so are we.
Okay.
That's what I think. We have that one thing that we say all the time, I am as God created me. So God is all those things that created us in those ways.
Those are the gifts.
Pardon?
Those are the gifts that he gave us. He gave us all those gifts when he created us. Is how the Course puts it. Perfection.
I think they come out of love. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I can't be that way unless I'm feeling loving.
Are you feeling loving?
Most of the time.
Right now.
Right now? Mm-hmm. No, I feel like I'm in a lesson in college, just like Ross started off with.
I understand. I understand.
Well, the Thank ego you. Has to learn.
Pardon? Mm-hmm.
The ego has to learn. Spirit is already perfect. Mm-hmm. The ego has to learn its lessons.
Right.
But my ego needs a lot of learning.
I think it's more of getting rid of the ego than of the ego learning anything.
Oh, be careful with that. You don't get rid of the ego. You just sort of overlook it. You just sort of, it's just irrelevant. Getting rid of it. Careful of that. You might want to look at that one. Look up that one. Don't get rid of it.
Okay. We'll try to see it in a different light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody has a puppy.
A puppy? Is that must be Kenny? He's the only one. You and Kenny wants to. Oh, wait a minute. Cecilia's not muted.
I have a puppy.
A puppy. Ah, there's the puppy.
Sorry, right. I'm eating. That's why I have the camera off.
Okay, so Micheline, how about number two? Micheline, dang it. I wrote it down and I said it wrong.
That's okay. It's practice. It's okay. Two, love's meaning is obscure to anyone who thinks that love can change. Mm. He does not see that changing love must be impossible. Agree. And thus he thinks that he can love at times and hate at other times. He also thinks that love can be bestowed on one and yet remain itself, although it is withheld from others. Mm-hmm. To believe these things of love is not to understand it. If it could make such distinctions, it would have to judge between righteous and the sinner, the righteous and the sinner, and perceive the Son of God in separate parts.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying. This is telling us what it's not. changing love must be impossible. You can't love it at times and hate it others. So you can't bestow it on one and then withhold it. So, yeah, there you go. It's right. Not the meaning of love, even though that is in the first... You know, the first two words of the paragraph is telling us what love is not, huh? Yeah. But, hey, I guess if you eliminate everything it's not, then you're left with what it is.
I think the important part of that one is love's meaning is obscure. As soon as you say the word obscure, it's kind of like anyone who thinks is having a problem knowing love.
Okay.
I don't think you get a sense of love through thinking about it.
Just what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not on the right track if you think that any of these things up on this paragraph are it.
I think I've said this before, but can I say it again? It's a holy instant I had one time.
Sure.
I have a brother that I haven't really talked to in years and years. And there was a lesson, and I wish I could remember what it was because I'd like to do it over and over again, that said, choose somebody that you have a problem with and send them love. So I decided to choose my brother. And I thought, I closed my eyes and I went inside and I knew it was there, but I could not send it. I could not. I tried and tried. And finally, I just gave up. And I sunk into this place of nothingness. And the next thing I knew, I was feeling love through me, around me, and everywhere. That's all there was love. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, my ego got in the way and pretty quickly and said, well, you weren't asking to feel love. You were just asking to give it. But that was the time that I realized my head can't do it. I have to feel it, because that's all I could do was feel that love. I knew it was there because I could feel it around. It was like an energy all over the place.
I like the word radiate love. Just can't be contained. So I know the Course uses the word extend.
Well, what Andrew said was, even if my brother didn't receive it as I sent it, and I let the Holy Spirit do it for me, which is the only way I know how to do it now, for sure. Even there's some group of bodies that can feel it and they're giving it back. When you can feel love that has no conditions, it feels entirely different than the kind of love that you feel when it's conditional. Yeah. So when you ask me, am I loving Kenny? I would say I'm loving conditionally, because I am. And I have to do something more than just sit here and talk to you in order to be able to feel it for you. I know it's in me somewhere. I know that. But I don't know if it's an effect. It doesn't feel to me like that holy instant did. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, every time anybody says anything, Andrew takes it and sends a love message, interprets it as a love message. He never has a, yeah, you're right about that, unless it's a love message. Everything else he makes into a love message. And that's what I want to be able to do someday, what I'm aiming for.
Sounds good. All right.
That's a nice goal.
Yeah, it would make me feel wonderful, and I wouldn't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of my statements are not coming from recognizing the love in, for instance, other people's statements. A lot of my responses are not that way, and when I don't make them that way, and if I get a feeling inside, it's a feeling of guilt, and the guilt just leads right to fear that I'm going to be doing it, that the fear that I'm never going to be the way God wants me to be in this egoic form. Not that God's going to put his wrath down on me, but I'm never going to be with him again.
Not in your egoic body form, no.
No.
Your body will never be enlightened. Your ego will never be enlightened.
Right.
Take that to the bank.
Right.
Yeah.
But we've been told that we have joined all together as a son of God, otherwise known as Christ. And, you know, we constantly say we're a sliver of a diamond, or we're a drop in the sea, or whatever. So we have to all do it at once. We have to all get there at the same time. But my fear is that I will not get there, and I will hold everybody else up.
Uh-huh. What if you think as if everybody else is already there? And when you wake up, you'll realize that.
Well, that's what we are taught. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Luann, I think you're already there in love. You just don't recognize it.
I think that's what Ross just said.
You're already there. Your words tell you you're not, but you're already there.
I think that's what Ross just said.
Well, the only time there is now.
And thank you for putting it personally, Kenny. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking that there's a time element, so that You know, it says love cannot judge. Its meaning lies in oneness. Mm-hmm. And you know, where that oneness lies is in the present. And so it's really minus time. So if you think in terms of, you know, if you can be in the present and love in the present, then you're not trying to get there because you're in the moment. So I think that's, you know, if we just can hold that place in the moment and understand the oneness minus, you know, the time and the distance, then I think, you know, we're there, right? Well, because we're seeing people in their full potential. Everybody is capable of reaching the full potential of oneness. And if we can get to that oneness, then we can recognize that oneness in everybody else.
Cecilia, you started on the paragraph and started explaining it. Go ahead and read it.
Yeah. Okay. Love cannot judge as it is one itself. It looks on all as one. Its meaning lies in oneness, and it must elude the mind that thinks of it as partial or in part. There is no love but God's, and all of love is His. There is no other principle that rules where love is not. Love is a law without an opposite. Its wholeness is the power holding everyone as one, the link between the Father and the Son, which holds them both forever as the same.
So, you know, I believe that, but I don't know it. That makes sense.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that paragraph doesn't say just what it's not.
Well, I agree. I think you're right. I think it's a beautiful paragraph.
So our time tonight may be productive. We may see little hints of what love means. Perhaps. Okay.
So instead of thinking about the wrath of God, what I think is I'm guilty because I'm not, because I am thinking of love as in parts rather than as whole. Mm. That's where I have a guilt feeling, and it turns into a fear feeling.
Some scratching noise. I don't know.
Did it stop?
Yeah, was it you?
I think so. I was flipping on a piece of paper.
Yeah, that was it. Okay. Yeah, it was really loud. Okay. Yeah, so there's a couple of sentences in there, I believe, that are telling us a little bit about it. Look at the one I highlighted. Its meaning lies in oneness. Right there. Its meaning. So a little bit of a hint. All right. So, let's see. Who's next? How about Kenny? Can you do number 4?
So, I'm not a good reader. And also, my right eye has got astigmatism.
Okay.
So, by the time I try and find the word and I speak it, I get confused. So, that way, for that reason, I vote myself off the list.
All right, no problem.
Thank you. I appreciate you asking.
Oh, yeah. I just got my both eyes, astigmatism out of both eyes, Kenny, and I love it. It only took about 3 hours. And most of that time I was just lying around waiting for the doctor to do something different. In case you're wondering, I would get astigmatism out of my eye if I were you.
Wait. Okay, so how about Emily then? Can you read you're on number 4, yeah?
No course whose purpose is to teach you to remember what you really are could fail to emphasize that there can never be a difference in what you really are and what love is. Love's meaning is your own and shared by God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
For what you are is what he is. There is no love but his, and what he is everything there is. There is no limit placed upon himself, and so are you unlimited as well.
So vindicated there, huh, Michaeline? For what you are is what he is. Right there in black and white. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the analogy of electricity. It's like love and God are kind of synonymous, and we're in the electricity that's the source of who we are. So it's not like we can separate ourselves from that, but our ego lets us think we can and oftentimes argues that point in millions of different ways. But there's only one love, only one source, and you know, that kind of really affirms that for me. It can't be anything different. And it is, you know, it just is. I think that's a beautiful paragraph, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One thing you said makes me think of some little metaphor that I came up with, that there's one mind, and we have put up this imaginary barrier where we've blocked off the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, all the true parts of our mind, and walled us off into this little partition of the ego and separateness and specialness.
I think that's what our ego does.
Yes.
It's not just because our ego does that, though, doesn't mean it's true.
No, it's an imaginary partition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a little Soji screen in our mind. That we can't.
Yeah, it's like the toaster's plugged in, but because it's not physically on, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have electricity going to it.
All right, yeah. Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
And you know, if we throw out metaphors like that, somebody's bound to go, oh, I get it. Metaphor connects with them, whereas mine might not. You know, I've
had
people look at my metaphors and go, I don't get that at all, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, it works for me. And then a couple other people I know, they do like some of the metaphors I've come up with.
Yeah.
Be some kind of a story about what it is like. You know, you, it's like electricity.
Yeah, it's light because it's light. I mean, he just said that in that one paragraph. It's light, that we are the light. So that's, and it was something I heard from another spiritual person talk, and there was a lot of contention about, you know, well, you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't taste it, and that's when the electrical source of light was used as a metaphor for, you can't see the electricity, but you know when you turn it on, it's there. And when you turn it off, it's still there, but you can't see it or taste. So I that kind of worked for me. But you're right, it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of having a group, that everyone throws out a metaphor, and maybe for one person it brings them closer to oneness or less separation.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're back to Luann with number 5.
What I'm noticing about all these paragraphs is it talks around love or about love, but not what love is. And I think that the important part of that last paragraph, love is the meaning for whatever you think it is.
Oh.
Can we go back to 4 for a second?
Yeah, this sentence 2 right here?
Yep. Love's meaning is your own and shared by God. So that doesn't tell us what the meaning is. It just says what it's about. But
little hints.
Anyway, I'll read number 5.
Okay.
No law the world obeys can help you grasp love's meaning. Oh, okay. What the world believes was made to hide love's meaning and to keep it dark and secret. There is not one principle the world upholds but violates the truth of what love is and what you are as well.
So exactly what I was doing.
Yeah, we can't talk about it in terms of what it is. We can only talk about it as how it exists. You have to feel it.
Okay. How it exists.
In my mind. I've never done anything but feel it once in a great while.
Okay. Good observation. All right, Jacqueline, number six.
Seek not within the world to find yourself. Love is not found in darkness and in death. Yet it is perfectly apparent to the eyes that see and ears that hear love's voice. Today we practice making free your mind of all the laws you think you must obey, of all the limits under which you live, and all the changes that you think are part of human destiny. Today we take the largest single step this course requests in your advance towards its established goal.
Where did you get that one, Ross?
This is all lesson 127.
All these paragraphs are?
Yes. I just copied and pasted the whole thing because it has a lot. There's one in paragraph 7, there's one in paragraph 9, where it specifically says what love means. So that's what I was looking for when I did my search.
Okay, thank you.
Everything related to what love means. And we're finding that it's kind of what it's not, a lot of about what it's not. So that's fine too. Okay, so Michaeline.
What we are doing, though, is finding clues of where to go to come to know it.
Yes.
Well, and the Course has always said we need to look at what we believe is true here to be able to undo it. And so we're looking at love, what love is not, as an ego, as our thought system that we're enmeshed in.
Yeah, we don't want to make a mistake and think we know what love means when we're looking in the world with our body and our brain,
right?
And for in special relationships, good grief, what a horrible thing that would be. Yeah. to think we know what love is when clearly the Course says we do not. If we're looking in the world with our body and our brain and our
right.
That's
and we need to look at the Course all says throughout, you know. Jesus is saying, look at this, and gives us a contrast of what the truth is. But we still have to be, not deny, the not denial of truth. Say, wow, you know, this in this world, in this thought system, this is not love. And I have to not deny the denial of truth about that. So that's why there's so much of this throughout the Course.
Mm-hmm. Contrast. Yeah, I've got 7 pages. Yeah, and we're on page 2, and it's already 8:19. I don't think we're going to make it through the whole thing. But me, on my own, I made it through the whole thing. So I encourage you, if we don't make it through the whole thing, do a search on the meaning of love, and you'll find all sorts of clues and hints. All right, so Michaeline, how about, where are we, number 7?
Okay. If you achieve the faintest glimmering of what love means today, you have advanced in distance without measure and in time beyond the count of years to your release. Let us together then be glad to give some time to God today and to understand there's no better use for time than this.
Faintest glimmering. Maybe we can get the glimmering tonight. We can only hope, right? All right. You know what? I'll go ahead and read the next one since it's kind of lesson stuff. For 15 minutes twice today, escape from every law in which you now believe. Open your mind and rest. The world that seems to hold you prisoner can be escaped by anyone who does not hold it dear. withdraw all value I've placed upon its meager offerings and senseless gifts, and let the gift of God replace them all. Well, it's a little more than just, you know, instructions for how to do the lesson. You know, 15.
Kind of like what the whole book is telling us to do every single day.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. All right, so let's see who we're at now. Cecilia, can you do number 9? Oh, you're muted, Cecilia. And I'll scroll this up because I think, you have one that wasn't showing.
Okay. Call to your father, certain that his voice will answer. He himself has promised this, and he himself will place a spark of truth within your mind wherever you give up a false belief, a dark illusion of your own reality and what love means. He will shine through your idle thoughts today and help you understand the truth of love. In loving gentleness, he will abide with you as you allow his voice to teach love's meaning to your clean and open mind, and he will bless the lesson with his love.
So kind of what you were saying, Luann, that God's going to teach you without having your idle thoughts get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But his voice is going to teach you love's meaning if you don't have any thoughts about it that are going to block it. That's what I take away.
His voice, isn't that the Holy Spirit? That's where
yeah. You're... Yeah, because God doesn't speak.
Right.
Yeah. He has nothing to say. He just be love. He be love. He don't have nothing to say. All right. Mm-hmm. So, we might as well go through the whole shebang here. And Emily, number 10?
Number 10. Today, the legion of the future years of waiting for salvation disappears before the timelessness of what you learn. Let us give thanks today that we are spared a future like the past. Today we leave the past behind us, never more to be remembered, and we raise our eyes upon a different present where our future dawns unlike the past in every attribute.
Little time talk. All right.
Mm-hmm. Now I get it.
Shall we move on, or any more on that one? Let's just keep moving on. We'll get to some more good stuff once we get to 127.
Emily wants to say something.
Okay. Sure.
I was just, you know, reflecting on what the attribute, in every attribute, the future is not related to the past. Where a future dawns unlike the past in every attribute is what it says. So I'm wondering about how that relates to love, and I'm allowing an awareness that everything I think or everything I've thought has nothing to do with what's about to be my next now. And so, therefore, I open myself to whatever is about to be in my awareness. And to me, that seems like love.
Wow. Okay.
Something I can't know, something I haven't known, and therefore, I am innocent.
Get ready for a holy instant. Without time, without space, without a body, without a brain. Now you're ready for love.
I think you're absolutely right. If you don't have a past and you're not thinking of the future, what's left but what you really are?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See, eternity is the closest to now that we can, or now is the closest to eternity that we can get. And that's without time.
The present.
A long time.
The present.
The present, yes. But now. Yeah. Now, the present is the closest to eternity we can get.
I'm glad you said that, Emily, because I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think it feels really true.
Good. There you go. Like I said, different wordings connect. Great. That's what this group's about. Perfect. Okay, so where are we at? 11? 11, and it's, what? Luann's up again? I guess we have a small group.
The world in infancy is newly born. I'm going to say that over. The world in infancy is newly born. And we will watch it grow in health and strength to shed its blessing upon all who come to learn to cast aside the world they thought was made in hate to be love's enemy. Now are they all made free along with us. Now are they all our brothers in God's love.
That one got my brain twisted around.
I think I've had two men in my life that emphasize that. One of them is just 6 months younger than I am, and he's always in the moment, always. And you can tell because he closes his eyes and checks to find out what the moment is.
Hmm.
And Andrew is always that way because when you talk to him, he always twists whatever you say around so it comes out loving, like a loving way to be.
He always brings it up to the level of oneness.
And that makes it love. I mean, it just sounds like love when he does that.
That is.
And so that's the world in infancy, is those two for me, those two gentlemen who are my muscles. And I am watching it grow in health and strength through all of you.
Michaeline has her hand up.
Yeah, I think for me it's the shift in perception. The world is new, you know, the world is infancy and newly born when I ask to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the perception, it's the window in which I'm looking through. And if I'm looking through the eyes of love or God's eyes or the Holy Spirit's eyes, it's newly born. It's not of the past or of the future. So it doesn't. It is a blessing, and it's casting aside the things that we thought or think, the ego thinks and thought, you know.
Okay.
So it's really free looking through that window or that perception. It's always shifting for sure, but.
Okay, I'm kind of getting it now. Whew, it's still a tough one. A tough sentence. And it starts with "and." Don't they tell you in English class not to start a sentence with "and"? And it just goes on and on and on. Like, oh, well, there's a lot in that sentence number two. Whew.
I think you use "and" when you want to emphasize something.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like "but."
All right. So, okay, Jacqueline, can you hit us with number 12?
We will remember them throughout the day because we cannot leave a part of us outside our love if we would know ourselves. At least 3 times an hour, think of one who makes the journey with you and who came to learn what you must learn. And as he comes to mind, give him this message from yourself. I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you. For I would learn the joyous lesson that there is no love but God's and yours and mine and everyone's.
Sweet.
Like it. All right, so let's see. I'm just curious. I want to see where this next paragraph is from. It is from... So this is from chapter 12, starting here with number 5. But yeah, that's a great way to end it. A little italics, a little prayer there at the end. It's a really nice prayer, isn't it? Just kind of bring everybody in to that love. Don't leave anyone out. Yeah. Okay, so Michaeleen, how about we start off of lesson number 127 and start on chapter 12.
Okay. Paragraph 5?
Yeah.
Okay. You have learning handicaps in a very literal sense. There are areas in your learning skills that are so impaired that you can progress only under constant, clear-cut direction provided by a teacher who can transcend your limited resources. He becomes your resource because of yourself you cannot learn. The learning situation in which you placed yourself is impossible. And in this situation, you clearly require a special teacher and a special curriculum. Poor learners are not good choices as teachers, either for themselves or for anyone else. You would hardly turn to them to establish the curriculum by which they can escape from their limitations. If they understood what is beyond them, they would not be handicapped.
Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit.
Can't learn nothing on your own, apparently. Need a little
help. I think
help.
For me, that's like talking about the ego and the whole sense of thinking what I know and that I think I can progress if I do this or do that. And it's really not of this world. It can't transcend the limited resources of our ego or what we see in the world or any of that.
Transcend.
It's like it's an inside job.
That's what Andrew is saying all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I was echoing him, actually.
Yeah, you transcend the ego. You use that word, yeah. And there it is. Yeah, you transcend the ego.
But it's also an inside job, which is why I think you have to go inside and see what comes from whatever, from the Holy Spirit within you.
Yes.
If you try to think about it like out there, you're not going to get any good answers.
Perfect. Yes, exactly.
That's what my therapist taught us how to do, is to go inside. I had an amazing therapist, and unfortunately, he is now retired with a bit of dementia.
So, yeah, I wanted to pull in that paragraph 5 because it explains your handicap. So, Cecilia, can you hit us with number 6 where it talks about our handicap?
Yeah, I want to make a little comment before we move on, because I think, you know, for me, it was really powerful, 12, where, you know, the comment, I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you, you know, because sometimes we get caught up on other people's drama, and I think if we can just, instead of, you know, rolling with that drama or reacting to it, you know, to bring us back into the present, I think that's really, really powerful to be able to come back, you know, with I bless you, brother, sister, right? With the God of love, which I would share with you. I mean, I just, that to me is so powerful. So I was still lingering there, but yeah,
anything so, in the palates is a prayer.
Yeah.
And can be a toolbox item that you pull up whenever you have some kind of wavering, whenever you're upset for the wrong reasons. You're never upset for the reason you think.
Like, so right.
There's your prayer for when you're upset for the reason that you think, but it isn't the real reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you want me to read now? Number six.
Number six.
Okay. You do not know the meaning of love, and that is your handicap. Do not attempt to teach yourself what you don't understand, and do not try to set up curriculum goals where yours have clearly failed. Your learning goal has been not to learn, and this cannot lead to successful learning.
There it is.
Hmm.
Don't try to do it on your own. You're going to have a problem. All right. So that's from paragraph, all right, number 12. And now we jump all the way to chapter 15 with Emily reading for us.
Three. You cannot love parts of reality and understand what love means. If you would love unlike to God, if you would love unlike to God, who knows no special love, how can you understand it? To believe that special relationships with special love can offer you salvation is the belief that separation is salvation. For it is the complete equality of the atonement in which salvation lies. How can you decide that special aspects of the sonship can give you more than others? The past has taught you this. Yet the holy instant teaches you it is not so.
I like that word aspects. I think of everybody that I perceive as out there as really it's an aspect of the sonship, an aspect of myself, I, the mind. So aspects, I like that word. So again, this paragraph is talking about what love isn't.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. But we're narrowing it down, aren't we? Okay.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? I think.
Oh, you sure can.
About special love. I know that in the Course in Miracles, we've talked about special love and you know, that there isn't special. I mean, that was my sense of it is like, you know, that's a mistake, you know, and that kind of brings up for me the whole idea that, you know, like we think about partners or mates or, you know, husbands, wives, that kind of special relationship and, you know, this whole ceremony around it being special, that this is where love is. This has aspects, special aspects, unlike the relationship with the postal guy or the, you know, the nurse or the, you know, the person, the neighbor. So, you know, it kind of sets up this, you know, this whole thing about expecting love to exist here, unlike other places. And I guess that the feeling that I'm getting from hearing this is that we're taught that.
Movies.
The past has taught you this, is what the sentence says. And so what we can remember is, I mean, I'm kind of putting it together, is that what we can remember is that we're constantly being taught by the Holy Spirit what love is, but we don't know what it is. That's what I'm kind of putting together.
Well, I look at our movies, you know. Oh, look, they got together. They fell in love. Oh, happily ever after, the end. It's almost never that way. There's all kinds of problems with these special relationships between bodies. But the Hollywood ending is what we really want. That's what we're brought up with. We get the white picket fence, the 2.5 kids, you know, the dog and the car, and that's your recipe for happiness. Oh, you got the good job, too. That's, you know, whatever, the career. And then you're happy. That's our formula. Well, it don't work that way. I don't know very, very few people who pull that off, because it's all based on, you know, oh, it's my family unit. It's going to go perfect. It just never does. It just ends in death. The whole thought system ends in death. No ifs, ands, or buts. So once you just see through that, you go, oh, okay, let's throw out every movie ever made about love, because they ain't getting to get it. They're not going to get it. That's why we don't know the meaning of love. Not the Hollywood shtick.
And yet, I mean, the setup is in my teaching, the setup has to do with in this contract, you're going to try to remove the blocks for each other, that remove the blocks that hinder love. I mean, that's kind of what I thought. You know, that was what I was
told. You're going for a holy relationship instead of a special relationship. Yes.
Okay. That's what I was, but the feeling though is from what I am now learning is that it has to be set up differently. Not that, okay, so like what you say is holy. So like you have a holy union, but it's not just with that one person, because that holy union is all the time with you all the time, not just with that one person.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the setup is that it's just with that one person. And, you know, you can't really get there. With, right. I mean, you can't keep thinking that. That's right. That's yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That you're on the right track.
I was going to say, hi, Emily. So you cannot love parts of reality. That special relationship is a part of reality that we hang on to, you know, because it offers us security or whatever. And oftentimes then there's the fear of losing that special relationship. You know, fear is always attached to, oh, okay, I have this little package and I might lose it. You know, so, and that's only because you have, you know, you think that that special relationship is what love is, right? And like you said, if you come into the special, the person that you choose to be with is very different, because you chose to be with that person, but that person isn't completing you in love, because you are already in love, right? And the love is full and whole. So you're basically making a contract with a person, which is very different, you know, to be together, to love each other, but not necessarily, it's not a relationship based on fear. You know, but rather on, you know, allowing that person to recognize you as, you know, embodied in love. And so you kind of like remind each other and you mirror God's love to each other.
Okay, so you're
and that is not exclusive. It's, you know, it's like wildfire. It just spreads. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking when it says you cannot love parts of reality. The part of a reality is that special relationship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're seduced into thinking that that is real love. And it's not.
And what if the contract had some other clause in it that said something to the effect of, the goal is peace, not you make me happy or you make me whole.
Right.
It's not a bad idea.
You're on the right track, for sure. Contractual love. Yeah. You complete me. You, something missing for me, and I'm going to find it in you.
Yeah.
And you better give me that piece, or something's wrong. Oops.
Oops.
Well, I like that idea. Relationships are to find peace together.
I like that too.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. That would be the holy relationship. You know, and starts here. Find peace, Emily, and then peace, you know, just begets peace.
You're perfect and whole, and then you can have a relationship based on you being perfect and whole.
Well, you don't have to be perfect and whole. You can have a contract that says we're working together to find it.
True.
Because we're not born peaceful. We're born, the ego develops as we grow even more so. And then we find somebody that we think we can have a loving relationship with. And if we base it on our ego's needs, we're in trouble. But if we can base it on our needs to find God, then we're not in trouble.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So this next sentence is one we already looked at, but again, I put it up front because it does talk about learning device for teaching you love's meaning, and it's the holy instant. So we already kind of covered that. So I'd like to move on because we only have 13 minutes. And we're only on page 4 of 7. So let's see who's next. Oh, Luann's up again. I think we lost them. Okay. So,
you're talking about me reading the next little tiny paragraph?
The meaning of love is the meaning God gave to it. Yeah.
So the meaning of love is the meaning God gave to it. Give to it any meaning apart from his, and it is impossible to understand it. God loves every brother as he loves you, neither less nor more. He needs them all equally, and so do you. And I've always thought it was interesting about he needs them all equally. And recently we read something and talked about something. We didn't get into this exactly deeply, but I got to thinking about it later. Why does God need us as his child? And I think it's because without that extension, he doesn't exist. Whatever God is does not exist. Love, for instance, is not something that is able to be put into a barrel and then that surrounds it. It's not just eternal, but it is infinite. And that's why he needs us as well in order to be what God is. You say God is just a small piece. Well, then there's no really such thing as love the way God loves. God loves infinitely, and so do we. And if we're not loving infinitely, he's saying to him, to us, well, he's already brought us back to him. So I hate the word him. But anyway, what I really like to say, it loves every brother as it loves us, whatever it is. And it's pure love. So he needs them all equally. He needs all of us to equally be an eternal just as it is. And so do we. That's what that means to me.
Sounds good.
If you think of eternal, then yes, God needs us. Because it's not eternal without us.
Mm-hmm. However you understand it. That's the ticket. All right, so Jacqueline, how about number 5?
In the world of scarcity, love has no meaning and peace is impossible. For gain and loss are both accepted. Excuse me. as though no one is aware that perfect love is in him. In the holy instant, you recognize the idea of love in you and unite this idea with the mind that thought it and could not relinquish it.
So there it is again. The holy instant is your key to recognizing the idea of love in you. That's kind of what you've been saying, Luann. You don't know the meaning of love. You recognize the idea of love in you. How's that hit you?
That sounds good.
All right. Good. You like that one. Good. All right.
I don't know about the idea. I just recognize that it's love in me. It's not an idea that I can define.
Okay.
I don't have words for that idea. It's just
okay. That's what the holy instant's about. No words.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Cecilia, where are we? So we're at...
it is impossible.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that one.
Okay. Do you want me to read?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just want to say we are in a world of scarcity where love has no meaning and peace is impossible. So it seems, you know, just everything that's going on, but that's not the case.
How do you find joy in a joyless place?
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right.
Realizing you're not there.
It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning apart from you. It is what you prefer to keep that has no meaning. With all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. Unless the universe were joined in you, it would be apart from God. And to be without him is to be without meaning. That's a really, can somebody read it again? I'm not sure. I quite get it.
Sure, I'll read it. It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning apart from you. It is what you prefer to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. Unless the universe were joined in you, it would be apart from God, and to be without him is to be without meaning.
I think we're saying this is where we are when we start this course.
Yeah, you're keeping, what you're keeping away holds all the meaning of the universe.
Because you're keeping away love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The meaning of love is right there in sentence number four. Yeah, sentence number four, because I took part of the paragraph. So, did it help reading it again, Cecilia?
No. I'm having difficulty digesting what this means exactly, but it's okay. I mean,
I think sometimes if you sit,
I would just
it.
Like to hear what other people interpret that to be.
I think it says we have rejected love, so therefore it's outside of us. And I just, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I just lost sight of all of you.
Oh, you probably clicked a button.
I think it means that, you know, we're trying to find out what love is because we don't know what it is inside of us. We're trying to do it with words outside of us. And we have to know that love is only defined by what we have inside of us that's real, which is love. That's what I think it means.
Mm.
And when you think of it, when it's inside of me, it's inside of you, it's inside of everything and that's living in the universe.
Yeah. The universe is inside of you. And if you think it's not, it would be apart from God. And to be without God is to be without meaning.
Right.
Hello?
And what we're trying to do is to not do that anymore.
Right. It's an undoing. Remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Okay, so here's another one from we're on chapter 16. Oh, and we're on 4 minutes. So let's see who's up. Emily, can you do number 6?
Sure. The meaning of love is lost in any relationship that looks to weakness and hopes to find love there. The power of love, which is its meaning, lies in the strength of God that hovers over it and blesses it silently by enveloping it in healing wings. Let this be, and do not try to substitute your miracle for this.
Wow. The power of love, which is its meaning. Oh, interesting. A little hint. What was that other phrase? The faintest glimmer. If you get the faintest glimmer, it saves you thousands of years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we are getting a glimmer. Is there a glimmer? Do I hear a glimmer? Do I hear a glimmer tonight? All right, let's see what we got.
You know, Michaeline, it's interesting you compared it to electricity. And electricity could be said as a type of a power. The problem with that sentence is it doesn't say what kind of power it is. We can define what electricity power is. We can't define what love the power is. Unless we have a holy instant. Then we can sense it, but we can't define it.
How about this, Luann? I'm looking at number 12 here up on the screen, and you might like what that says.
Well, I have to tell you, somehow I lost video. I'm only on audio right now.
Oh, well, I'll read it then, because I think we're going to run out of time right here. But it says, love is not learned. Its meaning lies within itself. And learning ends when you have recognized all it is not. That is the interference. That is what needs to be undone. Love is not learned because there never was a time in which you knew it not. Learning is useless in the presence of your Creator, whose acknowledgement of you and yours, whose acknowledgement of you and yours of Him so far transcend all learning that everything you learned is meaningless, replaced forever by the knowledge of love and its one meaning. That's chapter 18. How about that to end? Woo-hoo! Did we get a glimmer? that's page 5 of 7. There's if you wanna search this yourself. I pulled up lesson 168. It's got one reference to the meaning of love. And I pulled up P. What's P?
Page?
I don't know what P is. ACMP-255. Anyway. It's one of the other sections, is it the psychotherapy? Anyway, it's got one more reference.
Let's turn off the alarm.
But I think what we just ended with was the perfect way to end tonight. Love is not learned on chapter 18, if you want to go back and look at it. chapter 18, number 9, will get you close enough to find that paragraph, paragraph 12. Wow, that's a great way to learn. Love is not learned. Learning ends when you recognize all it is not. So maybe we got a good handle on what it's not. There's a lot of what it is not in here tonight. So
I think so, and I thank you for putting it all together for us like that.
Thank you. I learn a lot when I do this. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I blew it because love is not learned.
Thank you, Ross.
Learn a lot about how to teach.
Oh, what's the chat? Who put it? Oh, it's probably Methylene. Sorry,
yeah,
I need to see you next week. It's a wonderful teaching tonight. Thank you, Russ. Good night, everyone. Well, that's a way to get another good way to end the meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Love you all.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye.
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 Bye.